The travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Travelers of Difficult Paths Let us begin with an excellence of reciting Salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam is reported to have said, "Zayyinu majalisakum bis-salati alayya fa inna salatakum alayya nurun lakum yawm al-qiyamah." Decorate your gatherings by reciting Salat upon me, for indeed your recitation of Salat upon me will be nur for you on the day of judgment. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Dear viewers, it is a known principle of life, and in particular, Islamically speaking, it's understood by one and all. The greater the rank of a person, the greater the status of an individual, the more difficulties he will face. Trials will be in abundance. And when we look at creation, the entire creation, we know that the person, the blessed personality who has the greatest rank in creation is our beloved master, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And he was tested the most in all of creation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, the amount of hardship that I faced in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody faced that level of hardship. And the amount that I was made to fear in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody was made to fear to that level. After this, the Prophet alayhi salam explained, and he said that 30 days and 30 nights have passed in my life in such a way that between me and Bilal, Sayyidina Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala an, there was only enough food for a person as nourishment that could be placed under the armpits. Now, in those days, this example was given because something which was very small could be placed under the armpit. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ explained that 30 days and 30 nights have passed for me in this state that between me and Bilal, there was not enough food. Or there was only enough food that could fit in the armpits. That doesn't mean literally, but obviously, as I explained, that the Arabs would use this example to show the qilla, the lack of something. Think about it. The Prophet ﷺ is the greatest of Allah's creation. But the hardships he faced are so numerous that Allahu Akbar. But look at the state today of believers. Our leader, our qaid, our master sallallahu alayhi wasallam spent his days and nights like this. Whereas today, if for 2 days only we did not acquire food which was to our liking or which was our favorite dish, what happens to us? We become angry, irritated, annoyed. In the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we're not talking about a day or two, we're talking about a full month. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wasn't picky in terms of his food. The Prophet ﷺ was the most grateful in all of creation. He ate what was available. So we need to rectify ourselves in this regard. And when we go towards that period of the Prophet ﷺ's life where he announced his prophethood, إِعْلَانُ النُّبُوَّةِ, then we know that when the Prophet ﷺ was on Mount Safa and he called the people towards his deen, he said to the polytheists at that time, that worship Allah, the only one worthy of worship. And he said, if I stand here on this Mount Safa, if I tell you that behind this mountain there is the army of the enemies and they're ever ready to pounce upon you, to assault you, to attack you. Would you believe in me? The people replied that you've never spoken a lie. If you say this, if you tell us that the enemies are behind this mountain and they're ready to attack us, we would believe you. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned wahdaniya, the oneness of Allah, monotheism, and he mentioned his own prophethood. But look at the hypocrisy of the people. Like just moments earlier, they said, you've never spoken a lie. Of course we'll believe you that there's an enemy army on the other side of the mountain, if you told us that there was. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, believe in Allah, worship him, I am his messenger, I am his prophet. And the Prophet alayhi salam said that you have placed 360 idols in the Kaaba al-Musharrafa, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But believe me that Allah is one. When the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said this, the people, instead of embracing faith, instead of accepting the message, they began to say so many wrong things regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abu Lahab in particular, he said something which was quite offensive. He said, did you gather us here for this purpose? Woe to you, Ma'adallah. He's saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, woe to you. Did you gather us all here for this purpose? Meaning the very first statement that was said after the Prophet alayhi salam announced his prophethood was this statement of Abu Lahab. That destruction be for you. Did you call us and gather us for this purpose? So this is how staunch they were in their disbelief. But the Prophet alayhi salam continued his mission, continued inviting them. He always tried to save them from misguidance, from their worshipping of idols. The idols were leading them to hell, of course. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted them to come to the path of truth, the path of haqq. And they, the polytheists of the time, they had a separate idol for each work. And they would refer to each of those idols as God. And what were the incidents that occurred thereafter? Let's go through a few of them. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed his prophethood, Sayyidina Aqil bin Abu Talib, he says that one day the Quraysh, they gathered and they came towards Abu Talib and they said, your nephew comes to our gatherings, our houses, and he says certain things that offend us, that hurt us. And what were those words? Did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam go to someone's gathering or house and mock them, taunt them, disrespect them for the sake of it? Did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hurl abuse at them for no reason? None of these things took place. History is a witness that the only thing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do when he would go to their gatherings, their houses, was invite them towards the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would strive to take them out of darkness into light. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only went for this purpose. Now Abu Talib then called the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet alayhi sallam came, and what did he say in reply? What did the Prophet alayhi sallam say? The Prophet alayhi sallam said, if I had the sun in one hand, and if I had the moon in the other hand, I still would not leave this work of mine, this mission of mine. I would continue inviting you. Meaning, the Quraysh who came, they were complaining, and at the same time, they were saying to Abu Talib that stop your nephew from inviting towards his religion of Islam. And the Prophet ﷺ said, if I had the sun in one hand and the moon in the other hand, I still would not leave this work. I will still continue calling towards the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet ﷺ said, I'm not going to leave this work. What happened thereafter? Obviously, the Quraysh were enraged that we've come to tell his uncle Abu Talib about what he's doing, and he's defending himself. He's saying, no, I will continue doing what I'm doing. So this annoyed them, of course. So thereafter they increased in their oppression towards the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we learn that whenever the Prophet ﷺ was afflicted like this, he never took a step back. His feet did not waver, and he continued, alhamdulillah, inviting towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Harith radiallahu anhu states that I was going somewhere with my father when we saw a gathering. So I asked, what is this gathering? My father replied, here there is an individual who is inviting the people of the entire city towards one God. He is inviting towards one religion. And the people around him are gathered to hear him. Sayyidina Harith radiallahu anhu says, I stepped forward to take a look. And I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting there. People are around him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is conveying the message of Tawheed, oneness of Allah, the message of Risala, prophethood, messengership to them, teaching them about these things, that this is the religion I've come with. And the people, instead of accepting, what were they doing? They were, ma'adallah, hurling abuse at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rejecting his words. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is alone in this gathering. He's on his own. And all of them, it's as if they've conspired to come and hurt the Prophet alayhi salam, to speak negatively towards him, to discourage him. Sayyidina Haris radiallahu anhu says that when half the day had passed and it was extremely hot, the sun was out, these people went to their homes. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only were they verbally abusing him, they were physically abusing him. So much so that he says, Sayyidina Harith radiallahu anhu says that the Prophet alayhi salam was injured. And from his blessed body, you could see signs of blood, meaning blood emitted from the blessed body of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meanwhile, a young woman, she came to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She had water in her hands. And she began to wipe the wounds inflicted on the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then she gave water to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to drink. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank water and performed wudu. And he alayhi salatu wasalam said, oh my daughter, do not fear in regards to your father. Allah ta'ala will grant dominance to the religion of Islam, to his religion. Sayyidina Harith radiallahu anhu says, and I asked, who is this young woman? My father replied that this is the daughter of that person known as Zainab. Meaning it was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughter Zainab who would come and comfort him. And she would clean his wounds. She would bring water. And the Prophet alayhi salam is consoling his own daughter and saying, look, don't fear about your father. Allah ta'ala will grant dominance to the religion. Look at the yaqeen, look at the conviction that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam possessed. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Another narration, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala states that the amount of affliction meted out against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not given to any other person. He was afflicted the most. Sayyidina Amr bin As radiallahu says, I have a scene before my eyes. People were gathered in the shade of the Kaaba, Al-Musharrafa, and they were plotting on Ma'adullah taking the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, plotting to kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at that time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing Salah next to Maqamu Ibrahim, where the footprints of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam are preserved. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here in the shade of the Kaaba, there are people plotting against him. They're trying to make him a martyr, trying to come up with a plan. Uqba bin Abu Mu'ayth, he stands, he goes forward, he takes his cloak or shawl, whatever he has, he places it around the neck of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and pulls it with such force that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fell to his knees. This was the pain that was inflicted upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now here, think about it for a moment, dear viewers of Madinah Channel. When we invite towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there aren't people ready to harm us. There aren't people ready to make it extremely difficult for us. Alhamdulillah, we have so much freedom in how we want to preach the religion of Islam today. And this is the sadaqah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba who faced all of the trials, who were oppressed, as we are hearing. But today we don't have any such hindrance, any such obstacle. There are the same barriers placed in front of us. But we're fearful. We don't want to invite. And we have this fear, or people won't accept. Remember, it's not upon us to make them accept. We just convey the message. If Allah wills, their hearts will change. Otherwise, you know, there's no point becoming disheartened over a situation like that. You've earned your reward by inviting someone. When you've invited someone, you've done your part. You leave the results to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now conversely, look at the life of the Prophet alayhi salam. Very hostile environment. The Prophet alayhi salam is inviting towards the religion of Islam, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the conduct that is shown towards him? Ma'adallah, whilst he's worshipping, they're trying to take his life. They're plotting in the shade of the Kaaba on how to, ma'adallah, kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Meanwhile, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he ran. When he saw this, he rushed there. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, moved the people out of the way, and embraced the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, held the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and said, أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَن يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهُ فَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Are you trying to kill a person who all he's saying is that Allah is my Lord, even though he has come to you with clear signs from your Lord? So this is Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, putting everything on the line, saying to the kuffar, what are you doing? Saving the Prophet alayhi salam from further infliction. And if we analyze these difficulties faced by the Prophet alayhi salam, we'll realize that nobody faced difficulties like these. And he was truthful when he said that nobody has been afflicted like I was in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why was he afflicted? Because he was calling towards Tawheed, oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's unfortunate that people don't accept the message, the truth. They're willing to accept falsehood. But we must continue spreading the word of truth. Now in this short episode, we can't cover all of the accounts related to the oppression that was meted out against the Muslims in that early period. But we know that eventually the oppression reached such a level where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the hukam, the command, for the Muslims to migrate and go towards Makkah al-Mukarramah. And even then, it was very emotional, very sad time. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he left Makkah al-Mukarramah, it stated he would walk a few steps, then he would stop, he would look towards Makkah, then he would walk, then he would look towards Makkah. This was his yearning, his love, mahabba towards the city of his birth. The Prophet alayhi salam then said the famous words, "O Makkah, if your people did not make me leave, I would never have left you." And when he reached a stage, a place where he could no longer see Makkah al-Mukarramah when turning back, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam began to shed tears. So just think at that moment what was going through the mind of the Prophet alayhi salam, what the Muslims were facing. They were made to leave Makkah al-Mukarramah. That was the height of oppression. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he grants us afiyah and he grants us tawfiq to remain tolerant and patient like the Prophet alayhi salam when afflicted with difficulties in our lives. Ameen. Bijahi an-Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
The travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths.